Wilbur Ross is the Secretary of Commerce, and he's been talking this weekend about trade. And Wilbur Ross gave an interview, in fact, this weekend on the subject of trade. And he has indicated that there's news to come on the trade front. And it should come from the Commerce Department or perhaps even higher in the administration. And it has to do with those steel and aluminum tariffs that became effective back in March. And then we had a list of countries that were exempted on a temporary basis. Well, the Commerce Secretary says, Secretary Ross, says that these temporary exemptions are going to expire in 2 days, on Tuesday, May 1st. So says the Commerce Secretary. They will expire. And then what? Well, he says there's going to be an announcement. And he says the announcement's going to occur right before the May 1st deadline for the tariffs and, you know, the temporary tariff exemptions. So they're going to expire May 1st. So he's going to make his announcement as to what's going to happen. Now, we've seen various countries coming over here trying to gain exemptions. We've seen Mr. Abe from Japan go to the White House. We've seen Mr. Macron from France go to the White House, and he also got a state dinner. We've seen Angela Merkel go to the White House late this week. And part of the reason they're there, if not a big part, is to try to get an exemption from the steel and aluminum tariffs. So we'll see what happens with all this, because it looks like we're going to get an announcement either from the Commerce Secretary or somewhere in the administration, possibly on Tuesday. A number of countries were exempted from the initial tariff implementation in March. We gave an exemption to temporary to Australia, Argentina, Brazil, Canada, and the European Union, Mexico, and South Korea. They all received temporary exemptions from the steel and aluminum tariffs since March when they went into effect. But so far, only one country has been spared from the tariffs after reaching a deal to revise their bilateral trade agreement, free trade agreement with the USA, and that is South Korea. South Korea has made a deal, and so they don't have to worry about it. The deal has specifications. In order to avoid the steel tariff, South Korea has agreed to limit their shipments of steel to the United States to 2.7 million tons a year. All right. And also, South Korea has agreed to double to 50,000 the number of U.S. cars that can be imported without meeting local safety standards. Not quite sure why people want to do away with safety standards, but that is something that was part of the agreement. So we'll see what happens with trade. Also, of course, breaking news, we have a major merger announcement today, and that is a merger between Sprint and T-Mobile. This has been talked about for a while. Sprint mergers have been talked about seemingly forever, but we now have one. Sprint and T-Mobile in a very substantially sized deal here. It's a $26.5 billion deal for T-Mobile to merge with Sprint. And this will create a very, very large wireless company. They will compete against AT&T, and they will compete against Verizon Communications. So we have an amalgamation of companies in this deal. Deutsche Telekom, which is based in Germany, controls T-Mobile. SoftBank, based in Tokyo, is, of course, an owner of Sprint, and they have agreed to the combination. Each of the Sprint shares will get roughly 10 and one quarter of a point point, 10 and one quarter, a little bit more than one-tenth of a T-Mobile share. So based on the Friday closes, here's what we have. The value of Sprint common stock in this deal is $6.62. That's based on the T-Mobile Friday close of 64.5. Now, $6.62 is 12 cents higher than the closing print on Sprint on Friday. Sprint closed at 6.5. This deal values at $6.62. In other words, this deal essentially has no significant premium to the closing price of Sprint stock on Friday. And by the way, Sprint stock has had a range of 481 to 922. So there have been people willing to pay up to over $9 a share within the last year in order to speculate on Sprint and possibly speculate on a takeover. But the takeover is basically at the market price. Synergies of about $43 billion are expected, according to the announcement. And we'll see what happens. Obviously, we're going to have to look also to see whether there is regulatory approval of this takeover. Because the reason I say that is this combination, Sprint and T-Mobile, would combine to be a $74 billion annual revenue company with 70 million wireless subscribers. Now, how that compares to the competition, Verizon is the largest carrier. They have an $88 billion revenue run rate in 2017. They have that in wireless revenue. They have a 111 million subscribers. And that would put AT&T second with $71 billion in wireless revenue and 78 million regular subscribers. So we'll see what happens. There have been earlier announcements with Sprint that have collapsed. So we don't know yet whether the Justice Department will have an opinion on this or whether they will even throw a monkey wrench into this thing. We just don't know. What we do know is the deal has been announced. It's a really big deal, but for Sprint shareholders, there really is no premium in the stock price in this deal, and that might be disappointing to some of those in the Sprint common stock that were hoping for a better deal that would give them a higher price than the last close on Friday, the close on Friday of $6.50 per Sprint share. So we'll see what happens with that. Well, there is a question out there. When you look at the bond market today, we have seen the yield on the 10-year Treasury this week get up into that 3% area, close a little bit below that on Friday, but it did trade up and slightly over the 3% area. And it does raise the question as to whether investors are going to demand more money for their loans, their bond loans, because the fact is the CPI, the Consumer Price Index, is at 2.4 over the last year. And if you're getting 3% on a 10-year treasury, you're getting, a little more than 0.5% real inflation adjusted. That's historically very, very low. We'll see how long that lasts. I was just noticing that the current yield on the Vanguard Prime Money Market, which is one of the recommended funds in the investment letter, has risen all the way up to 1.8%. Now, the nice thing about 1.8% in a money fund is, first of all, it's going up with interest rates. So as the Federal Reserve continues on this policy track that they're on of raising rates, which is going to extend into next year at least if the economy remains expansionary, then at least you're participating in that increase in interest rates, and you're doing it without losing principal because you're in a money market fund. So you're rolling with the market And your rate on your money market fund interest is going up with the Federal Reserve raising rates. And so it really does make a lot of sense to consider including something like that in your fixed income portfolio, or your income portfolio, we should say. But if the Fed increases rates again, as expected in mid-June, you can look for the rates on a money fund such as that to continue to increase.